SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS unearthed the secret pasts of eight famous Australians.
This is a big moment.
In a brand new season.
Oh my God, I've been dying for this.
Who do you think you are? Stream now on SBS On Demand.
Vous êtes avec SBS French. Retrouvez les rubriques sur sbs.com.au/French.
Huis clos électrique sur le pouvoir et la résistance. Et pour en parler, j'ai le plaisir de recevoir Berthe Labonté, figure incontournable de la scène anglaise pour commencer. So you're now stepping into the shoes of a giant.
Yeah.
And but you have a long history of telling.
Bertrand, je m'appelle Bertrand aussi. You can call me Bertrand si tu veux. C'est un programme français. Je m'appelle Bertrand.
Berthe Labonté. Ben, j'ai exactement le même problème parce que c'est la première fois que j'ai un homonyme.
Oui.
Well, people call me Bert, Bernard, Bertrand, anything.
Everything but Bertrand. So yeah, it was like I changed my name to Bert when I was very young.
And that's why I just went straight away for Bert.
Call me Dieudonné aussi.
Dieudonné, you have a long history of telling powerful stories on the stage. How did the two of you work together to strip away the legend of Poitiers to find the human being who was simply trying to survive a room full of powerful men?
Trying to strip away the giant, I think the lens that I've been approaching it with is to try to find the man behind. And whenever he speaks about himself, he does a great job of explaining himself as the man and not the icon or the legend that people know him to be through his movies. Yeah.
Because when we meet Sydney in this play, it's before his career explodes to being the giant he is. So we meet him at a very young age, at the beginning of his career. So we don't know Sydney Poitier as Sydney Poitier that we see on the films. We know him as really a blank canvas for an audience. So we get to build our version of who we think he might have been through that time whilst making sure an audience recognises that it is definitely Sidney Poitier. It's been fun, yeah.
Donné, playing Sidney Poitier, the first black man to win the Best Actor Oscar, is really a huge undertaking. How did you balance the weight of his legacy with the need to portray him as a young, vulnerable actor just starting his journey?
I think I've been very fortunate that I'm at the generation that isn't from his readings and from the documentary, so I was introduced to him through the human side of him rather than through the film side of him, as other people who have gone before me would have known him first of all. So I think, yeah, that's been a sort of blessing, learning about his life before knowing him as an icon.
As the director, Bertrand, what immediately stood out to you in Ryan Cameron's writing? Was it the politics, the tension, or, you know, the human relationships at the center of this play?
A bit of all of that, a bit of everything. I mean, first and foremost, Sidney Poitier was, for me, c'est la première personne qui est noire sur
la scène américaine du cinéma.
The cinema, as a small child, that was, you know, somebody I could actually recognize. So when the play came about, I was very much excited to you know, put my name to it. And then I read the play, and the timing of it right now in society, it's incredible how the politics of 1957 are still so very prevalent today. It's unfortunate, but it's reality, and it's an incredible piece of theatre. The conversations that are had, just to see it makes him the giant that he is. Like to understand what he had to deal with and go through, and it was dangerous. The times were dangerous for black people. So for him to have such foresight and such principle about what he wanted to do was, you know, iconic in itself at the time.
The play is set in the 1950s at a really difficult time in the United States. It was the era of McCarthyism and racial segregations.
Correct.
And many critics describe it as alarmingly timely, actually.
It really is.
In what ways does Retrograde speak to contemporary audiences, especially in Australia?
As we've been doing it, I've realized that it really speaks to the innate particular of human nature in social groups of witch hunts. And, you know, currently we're seeing that with America and all the politics of the Middle East and with people who want to speak out against one side or the other. And previously, not only like within the last 10 years, that was also prevalent in cancel culture. And it shows how things can start off with the right intention, but then some people get behind it and want to use it for their own political gain, and it becomes blown out of proportion. And with McCarthyism, it starts off with a genuine worry of the Cold War and the scarcity of communism coming to America, and then that just gets blown out to silencing anybody who wants to say anything that can in some way be related to communism, even though there's no logic or ground for it, you know? Yeah, it's like, it's very Orwellian, if I can sound pretty smart.
it's very beautiful.
It's very Orwellian.
And Poitier was going through at that moment in his career.
I think what is at cost for him and what drives him to the ends in this play have been for me the fact that he's a new father with another child on the way. And he's already struggling as it is to barely provide for his wife and his one kid.
At this point, he has two. He's a third on the way. It's okay, mate. I'm there for you.
Thank you. See, this is the relationship. And his current business and financial well-being is already struggling. And this will not only secure his family that it can provide, but it will do far more than that. Potentially even his own mother and father and his siblings in the Bahamas and Miami.
Yeah, what's at stake is life. It's life-changing. What's at stake for him to sign a contract with a large studio is absolutely life-changing, never have to worry about anything for the rest of his life, and his kids probably as well, which is unheard of in 1957 for a black actor. But at the same token, there's a part in the play where he says when he arrives from the Bahamas, in the Bahamas, he's just a man. Like, he's not a black man. He's just a man. He just goes about his daily business as a human being. He doesn't recognize that he's black. He doesn't become a black man until he arrives in America, when everyone makes it a point to say, you're black. People are telling him who he is all of a sudden. And I think that's the turning point for Sidney Poitier in his life, where he's like, well, I'm just a man. Why do you have to define me by my looks?
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
I think this is where respectfully, where we are at right now. I feel like diplomacy has been lost in the world again. You know, we had it for a while. It's gone again. It's now you walk down the street, and as a child, I grew up in a very multicultural area. I grew up in the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne, and I went to school with 36 nationalities. I didn't understand that I was different until I kind of moved out of that area. I moved into the city. I went to country Victoria for university, and I was one of very few. But life was still incredible. I was different, but people enjoyed that. Now it feels like people are back to being frightened of the different. People are still very wary of the different. And this is what this play is kind of about of the time, you know, the wariness of being different and what that means.
Your productions are often focus on psychological intensity and character dynamics. What atmosphere were you trying to create for the audience with Retrograde?
I don't want to be giving too much. Uncomfortability.
Yeah.
I'm trying to create uncomfortability.
Yeah.
They should be sitting there. It'll be a predominantly white audience should be sitting there feeling a little uncomfortable about the fact that these conversations were reality and were the thoughts of most people of the time. I think that it'll make them uncomfortable because there's a large discerning amount of people at the moment that are feeling in a similar vein. What are we now? 60 years down the track, and that in itself is kind of frightening.
And going back to what we just mentioned a little bit earlier about actor and director relationship, what kind of conversations did the two of you have early in rehearsals about portraying such a big character like Sidney Poitier without simply just imitating him?
That was the biggest conversation. I didn't want you don't need to come in and just imitate Sidney Poitier. Of course, we have to have the essence of the man. He has to understand his rhythms and how he portrays himself and holds himself. But it wasn't about being a version of Sidney Poitier on stage. It was about him finding the truth of what the character is trying to say. When Yone hits the stage, people are going to catch their breath because when he walked into the room for the audition, I caught my breath. I was like, here he is. Here is Sidney Poitier. Mm. And then from there, it's just about finding the essence of the truth of the character in this particular play. And it is magnifique.
Yeah. Magnifique.
Because magnifique. When I speak to a lot of people who grew up or had Sidney Poitier as a major part of their, entertainment as children, they really speak of him with reverence. Of how great of a man he was in all aspects, social, political, and in his career. This play is an opportunity to show what it took to get to that area and to sort of put the human with the flaws and the fears to that reverence, that reverenced, referenced man, And I think, that's what this play does really well by showing how he still triumphed against all the odds,
yeah. Back to Bertrand, French audiences are often very interested in the intersection between art and politics. Mm. Do you see this play primarily as a political play or as a deeply personal story about ambition and integrity and all the aspects you just outlined for us?
Oh, it's all of the above. It is a deeply political play. But it is a deeply moving play about human connection and how we perceive each other as human beings, and it's about ambition and all those sort of things too. But I feel like it's more about a story of a large story of friendship in this within this play as well, which I think for me is the heart of the play, and then it's surrounded by political ambition and personal ambition. But I think the friendship factor of the play is the big one for me, and what that friendship cost at the time and the risk of that friendship at the time was, I think people don't quite realise how dangerous this friendship was for the era.
Going back to Hollywood, because this is all starts from Hollywood, because this cinema that we get from Hollywood, it's a cinema that always often celebrates success stories.
Yeah.
But your play seems more interested in the compromises behind success. Is that what makes the story so powerful?
So powerful. Mm. That's a wonderful expression of what it is. Yeah, it absolutely is about it's about the sacrifice, absolutely, and that's what makes it so engaging, I think, for audiences. It's also very funny. Like, there's a lot of humor in the play, and audiences should feel the right to laugh, although some of the laughter will be
very fearful.
They'll be scared to laugh to begin with, but they should feel free to laugh because it's funny. It's also of the era, so you need to remember. It's hard when audiences come in 2026 to see a play that is set in 1955, 56, 57, and it's
Still resonating.
Yeah, and it's also, are we allowed to laugh at what they were saying back then? Is that funny? I think it's funny. It's meant to be funny. I'm not sure if we should find it funny. You should absolutely find it funny because it's a commentary on the time, not now. fingers crossed.
Yeah. Now, guys, we couldn't talk forever, but before I let you go, just quickly, if you had to describe the atmosphere inside that contract room in just one word, what would it be?
Palpable.
Donnie? Just one word.
One word. clenched.
Clenched.
Mm-hmm.
Luxio, dit aussi de l'Australie d'aujourd'hui.
Don't forget your values that you were brought up with, I think is what it's trying to remind us. I think currently our society is going back to, we've lost diplomacy, and I feel like we're becoming more selfish society. So we're doing what's easy because they think it's going to make them, I don't know, it's going to bring them, I don't know what, but fortune or something. We've become a scared little country again, and we were never that. When I grew up, we were never that. I was wrapped in open arms when I was growing up in this country. I'm 51 now, and I always felt like I belonged wholeheartedly. And now I turn 51, and I'm born and bred in this country, and I feel like it's changing, not the way I expected it would be in 2026. I feel like people are beginning to look at me again on the street, whereas that wasn't a thing for a long time.
Perfect. We'll leave the audience with that tension. Dieudonné et Bertrand.
Merci, Bertrand.
Merci, Bertrand.
C'est moi qui vous remercie.
Aimez, partagez, commentez. Suivez-nous sur facebook.com/SBS French.
Learn to speak English. Find videos, podcasts, and advice to help you settle into daily life in Australia. Speak everyday Aussie with SBS Learn English.